Hello, this is Jane Pickens.
No, not yet, Jane. Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s, with yours truly, Glenn Robison, on Island Radio, KISL Avalon, at 88.7 on your FM dial, and anywhere on the planet at kislavalon.com on your internet dial. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. This week's show is the very definition of eclectic. In addition to finding ourselves up a creek, we'll be celebrating three birthdays, those of Jane Pickens.
Hello, this is Jane Pickens.
No, not yet, Jane. Cornell Smelzer and Hans Flath. And we'll play some rapidly rotating records for no particular reason. While you're listening to the original broadcast of this show on KISL, I'm in historic Sutter Creek, California, where just a couple of hours ago, the 25th annual historic Sutter Creek Ragtime Festival made its way into the history books. For 25 years, the festival has been keeping the legacy of ragtime and early jazz alive in California's gold country, at the foothills of the Sierra Nevada, but this is the first time we've made it to the festival, and we're thrilled to see lots of longtime friends and performers, meet some new ones, and enjoy lots of great music. There are more than 250,000 rivers in the United States. I don't know how many creeks there are in total, but in Alaska alone there are 63 different Willow Creeks. Far as I can tell, however, there's only one Sutter Creek. But here's a set of rapidly rotating records about some other creeks.
Thank you.
We started that Creek set with Mart Britt and his orchestra with Goose Creek, a stomp recorded in Memphis, Tennessee on September 14, 1928. One of 16 sides this Tennessee Territory band made for Victor between 1928 and 1932. And you'll likely be hearing more from Mart Britt when his birthday rolls around next May. Goose Creek was followed by Deep Creek, written by Jelly Roll Morton and performed by his Red Hot Peppers on December 6, 1928. It was issued on Victor, Bluebird, Sunrise, and by the Gramophone Company in Australia, Holland, Switzerland, and the UK. We finished Up the Creek with Banjo Pickin' Girl from Vocalion 04413, made May 30, 1938 in Chicago. So what does Banjo Pickin' Girl have to do with creeks? Well, that was the Coon Creek Girls, led by Lily Mae Ledford, playing clawhammer banjo. There's no such place as Coon Creek, at least as far as this group is concerned. John Lair, announcer of the Renfro Valley Barn Dance radio program on WLS, made up the name for the group. And you'll be hearing more from Lily Mae and the rest of the Coon Creek Girls next March. John Lair did not make up my name, Glenn Robison, and you and I are listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, August 7th, marked the birth in 1902 in Budapest, Hungary, of Cornell Smelzer. Known professionally by just his first name, Cornell, and sometimes as Joe Cornell, he studied piano at the Conservatory of Music in Budapest, graduating at age 16. He arrived in New York on August 21, 1920, and played in vaudeville, theater pit orchestras, and hotels. On January 27, 1927, he submitted a petition to become a naturalized citizen, which was ultimately successful. The same year, he formed his own orchestra, which played at the Beaux Arts Café in New York City, and around this time, he became infatuated with the accordion and popular music. On April 11, 1929, during the time he was playing at the Ogden Hotel on West 72nd Street in New York, Smelzer married Mildred Lackey, and a couple of years later they had a daughter, Connie. Around this time, he began recording and was heard regularly on radio, including the Ludwig Bauman Hour, RKO Theater of the Air, and the Campbell Soup Hour. Unfortunately, Cornell's musical career was cut short in 1931 by tuberculosis, but he lived well beyond that and died in 1993. Back in 2018, I played Smelzer's best-known composition, Accordion Joe, by Cornell and by Dave Hughes. But here it is by the Jungle Band.
Thank you. and you'll agree, dear, fate was right. There came a night when I met you and you met me, and in a moment I knew that only you loved, no other new love would do. Please don't discourage me, you're my ideal. Why not encourage me? You'll know just how I feel. I know you were made for love, and I was made to love you. And I know someday you'll feel the same way I do.
The Jungle Band was Brunswick's pseudonym for the Duke Ellington Orchestra, and we started our little tribute to Cornell Smelzer with their recording of Accordion Joe from April 22, 1930, credited on the label of Brunswick 4783 to Dale Wimbrough and Charles Cornell. The vocalist was Dick Robertson, and the accordionist, Cornell Smelzer, a member of Ellington's outfit from 1928 to 1931. Accordion Joe was followed by Cornell and his orchestra with I Was Made to Love You, written by Doris Tauber, Harold Veo, and Charlie Tobias. The vocalist on OK41395, made February 7, 1930, was Artie Dunn. We finished up with another by Cornell and his orchestra, Collegiate Love, written by Walter Doyle. It was recorded the same day as I Was Made to Love You, but issued on OK41386. Fun fact, about a year after this recording, on April 20th, 1931, Cornell Smelzer played George Gershwin's Rhapsody in Blue in its entirety on the accordion on the Gold Medal Fast Freight program over WJZ and the NBC Radio Network, accompanied by the 40-piece Arden Oman Orchestra. She's been heard on the show several times, along with her sisters Helen and Patty, but tonight she gets her own birthday salute. Now, Jane.
Hello, this is Jane Pickens.
Last week, August 10th, marked the birth in 1907 on a cotton plantation in Macon, Georgia, of Jane Pickens to Montezuma Leonidas Pickens and Sarah Patty Moore. Theirs was a musical family, and Jane and her three sisters were taught harmony by their parents. Of the sisters, Jane was the most serious about music and studied at the Curtis Institute in Philadelphia and the Fontainebleau in France before receiving a fellowship at the Juilliard School. After the family moved to Manhattan in 1932, Helen, Patty, and Jane made a test recording for Victor and were signed to be Victor's answer to the Boswell sisters, who recorded for Brunswick. Over the next 2 years, they recorded 25 sides, promoted as the Three Little Maids from Dixie. After a few years, Helen and Patty left the group to get married, as did the fourth sister, Grace, who was the group's manager. Jane continued her singing and acting career, appearing on Broadway, in nightclubs, and on television. When her career tapered off, she became involved in New York high society and performed benefits for numerous charitable causes. Jane Pickens was 83 years old when she died of heart failure in Newport, Rhode Island on February 21, 1992, and is buried at Island Cemetery. Here are three solo recordings by Jane Pickens.
Breathe of flame. Love, when we're dancing, keep on glancing in my eyes, till love's own entrancing music dies. All of my future is in you. You're every plan I desire. Love, I surrender. big and strong, the man I love. And when he comes my way, I'll do my best to make him stay. He'll look at me and smile, I'll understand. And in a little while, he'll take my hand. And though it seems absurd, I know we both won't say a word. Maybe I shall meet him Sunday, maybe Monday, maybe not. Till I'm sure to meet him one day, maybe Tuesday will be my good news day. He'll build a little home just meant for two, from which I'll never roam. Who would you? And so all else above, I'm waiting for the man I love.
Was in the land of cotton. Whole times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away. Look away, my Dixieland. In Dixieland, where I was born in, early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, my Dixieland. I wish I was in Dixie. Yahoo! I'm from Dixie. In Dixieland, I take my stand to live and die in Dixie, where the honeysuckle vine makes you feel so misbehaving. A dime Southern Dixie. My mammy shortening bread and corn, foam and grits and gravy. A dime Southern Dixie. In Dixie, hooray, hooray, in Dixieland, I take my stand to live and die in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie, away, away, away down south in Dixie.
It's way past our purported time frame of the 1920s and 30s. It's 1949. But in a set of Jane Pickens' solo recordings, how could I not play that? Dixie, written by Daniel Decatur Emmett. That's the A side of RCA Victor 20-3458, and the label credits Jane Pickens and her piano with orchestral accompaniment. Okay, quick, what was the tune that opened that record? That's right! The Piano Concerto in A Minor, Opus 16 by Edvard Grieg, the only concerto Grieg completed. Now, I couldn't find any documentation that it was actually Jane Pickens playing that piano intro. I'd be impressed if it were, but even more than that, I want to know whose brilliant idea it was to pair Edvard Grieg with Daniel Decatur Emmett. In 1940, Jane recorded 8 sides for Columbia, released in an album titled Jane Pickens Sings. We heard 2 of the 8, Lover, written by Rodgers and Hart, followed by George Gershwin's The Man I Love. On both of those, the orchestra was conducted by Nat Brandwin. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on Island Radio, FM 88.7, KISL Avalon, and KISLAvalon.com. This and all our previous shows are also available 24/7, on demand, anytime at all, online at RapidlyRotatingRecords.com. And we're on all the major podcast directories. Born the same day as Jane Pickens, August 10th, but a few years earlier in 1883 in Dayton, Ohio, was Peter Harold Flath, F-L-A-T-H, to Michael Flath and Elizabeth Rugg. I have no information about his upbringing or musical training, but shortly after the turn of the century, he directed orchestras for Victor Herbert and also worked with vaudevillians Weber and Fields. Known as Hans, during the 1920s, he led the orchestras and played the Wurlitzer organs at the Miller and Palace Theaters in Wichita, Kansas. Flath became musical director of KMBC Kansas City in 1930, a position he held for 25 years before going to work in the piano and organ department of Jenkins Music Company. Hans Flath died February 27, 1955, while playing the pipe organ during a recital at the Jenkins Music Company Auditorium in Kansas City, Missouri. He's buried at Mount Moriah Cemetery in KC. Flath was also the composer of a number of tunes, including Since They Took You Away From Me, Entrance of the Guards, The Peerless Princess, dedicated to the city of Wichita, and these. Thank you.
Bells and chimes duet, a summer dream, accompanied by the Edison Military Band.
Thank you.
Back in June, you heard Hans Flath's The Moose, played by Wessel Aasmann, but there you have it, performed by the Norwegian concert accordionist Torolf Tollefsen from Regal Xenophone 78, number G23504. I don't have a date for that recording, but I'm guessing around 1937. Before that, A Summer Dream, a chimes and bells duet by Albert Benzler and Henry Nesbitt, accompanied by the Edison Military Band from Edison 2-Minute Gold Molded Cylinder, number 8956, released in April of 1905. Albert Benzler was born in 1867 and was Edison's chief xylophone and bells player from the late 1890s until 1908. He was also one of the old man's house pianists, along with Fred Bachmann and Frank P. Banta. We started our little tribute to Hans Flath with Rose of Araby, written with Webb Long in 1920, and not to be confused with The Rose of Araby written just a year earlier by Cal Duvall. This Rose of Araby was performed by Isham Jones and his Rainbow Orchestra, and you heard a bit about the Rainbow Gardens on last week's show. Brunswick 5038 was recorded around October of 1920. I was all set for this segment to be a birthday salute to the guardian of Syrian music in America, Alexander Malouf, and was just finishing it up before I discovered I was way off on his dates, apparently a common error. Fortunately, I caught it in time, and Alex Malouf will be having his birthday tribute on the January 28th show next year. As for this segment, we'll now have another episode of For No Particular Reason. You know, that's where we play rapidly rotating records having nothing whatsoever to do with each other. And here to start things off is Joe Green. Thank you. There you have three totally unrelated tunes being heard on the show for the first time. We just heard Otto de Brint and his orchestra with Tap Dancer from 1925. German bandleader and film composer Otto de Brint was born in 1886 in what is now Hanky, Poland, and began his musical career as a recording producer for the Carl Lindstrom Company. In 1925, he formed a dance band and recorded several of his own compositions under his own name as well as pseudonyms. In 1935, he took over the German Broadcasting Orchestra and, following World War II, led orchestras in East Germany until his death in 1963. Before that, an unissued test recording by pianist Sammy Stewart and his orchestra of Skedaden D, made in Chicago on September 20, 1928. I don't know where the Skedaden D comes from, but the tune is actually Wobbly Walk, written by Bud Green and Harry Warren. Sammy Stewart did record it under the correct title on October 3, 1928, and that version was issued on Vocalion 15734. We started off with a late recording by Joe Green, identified as Joseph Green on the label of Decca 2171, made June 17, 1938. That was My Toreador, written by Jose Padilla, with Joe on the octarimba and Milt Hirth on the Hammond organ. I'm Glenn Robison, and I'm very pleased that you've chosen to spend this past hour with me listening to rapidly rotating records. If you had half as much fun as I did, then I had twice as much fun as you. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week. And as always, I thank you for your very kind attention. ¶¶